The vibration of change. That magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. Yes, it can seem rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, and it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of your inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. Here on the Christine Epchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Are you ready to step into your vibration of change? Hello, everybody. If you're listening live, you might be listening here in the Seattle area on 1150 AM KKNW or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. If you're listening after the fact, you might be listening on ChristineUpchurch.com or one of the dozens of podcasts the show ends up. But whatever and wherever you're listening from, we're so grateful you're joining us here. And you're going to be grateful, too, because we're going to be talking about a very, very important topic that really, quite honestly, is usually not talked about so openly. It's hush hush. And no, it's not that topic that I know is coming to mind, but we'll share that in a minute.
I knew what I was thinking. You had me on that one.
But I want to say hello to the man behind the technology before I introduce our guest, Benny Mathers. Hey, Benny.
So you have a boy and a girl.
No.
Oh, not that one. Okay.
Not that one.
Yeah. To piggyback on your podcasting situation, you have been completely updated on Podcast One as of today of all 2019 shows.
Oh.
I did that this morning.
Podcast One. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I know that there are like 40, 50 different podcasts, and some of them apparently weren't getting posted somewhere.
Right. You know. So this is on our – so if you go to 1150kknw.com where you transmit from your station pretty much the show, it's on that link. So
Cool.
it's SoundCloud and then the Podcast One. Right. So I finished that up today. So now you're back up to – brazen speed.
Thank you. And I know that there were some glitches with Stitcher and iTunes. Yep. I know that's not your arena, but those have been fixed. So some of those places, they will be updated within the next 24 hours or so.
Perfect.
And I'm really excited about our guest today and our topic today. You know, there's something that we don't like to talk about because it is probably one of the most painful things that can happen to a person. And that is losing a child. And it's the sort of thing where we as parents, we think there can't be anything worse in this world than losing a child. And yet it happens. And the people often are grieving behind closed doors or just only connecting with those who have had that same experience to try to get support. And the prevailing notion is if it happens to you, you'll never recover. But our guest today is somebody who's experienced that, and we're going to talk more about that. And she has learned to not only work through it, but thrive. And our guest today is Meryl Hershey Beck. She knows about the grief, personally and professionally. For 30 years, she was a licensed counselor, and she often helped clients work through their grief. And then in 2011... she lost her son. I'm going to let her tell you that story. She, of course, had to deal with those things that she had been helping others to get through. And she's got certain tools. She created this process called source tapping, which is a meridian therapy technique that helps ease pain and that she's used with her bereaved clients, but she also found she needed to use it for herself. She's an author. Her first book was Stop Eating Your Heart Out. And she's helped many people deal with their emotional eating issues. And her second book, which is now out today, and it's really exciting, we'll talk more about that, is Loss, Survive, Thrive. Bereaved parents share their stories of healing and hope. And I'm really happy to have our guest here today, Meryl Beck. Hey, Meryl.
Hi, Chris. So nice to be on your show. Do I need to call you Christine? Because I always called you Chris.
Well, okay, yeah. So you let the cat out of the bag. You and I are friends, and we've known each other for a long time. And you know, we were both working in the same healing realm, and we worked at workshops together. And you know, we've And so most people know me on the show as Christine. So you just said to everybody, hey, I know her personally.
Hi, neighbor.
Because I called her Chris.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I've got friends who also call me Christine. But yes, you can call me whatever you want, Meryl.
As they say, just don't call me late for dinner.
I never heard that. That's great.
My father used to say that when his name was Robert. They say, do you want me to call me Robert or Bob? He said, whatever you want, just don't call me late for dinner.
Oh, gosh. You know, Meryl, I knew you well before you lost your son. And it's the sort of thing where, your kids were older than my kids. But as parents, we share this bond. All parents share this bond of how important our children are, whether they're, you know, a baby, 10, or 30. So, it was so shocking for me to hear about what happened to your son. And it's the sort of thing where I almost didn't know how to support you because it's just like this foreign territory. And it's this place that we don't want to go as parents. And yet people like you have experienced it. Can you share with our listeners what happened and how your son ended up exiting off this planet?
So my son was... he was 35 at the time, living in Florida, because even though he was 35, he had a lot of young kid in him, and he loved the theme park. He loved Universal and Disney, and, you know, I don't even remember all of them, but he, you know, he loved that stuff. Well, at one point, before that, he was living in Tucson, and he became friends with a woman, and in the book I knit, called her Lola, and he wished that it would be a romantic relationship. And she said, I really like you, John, but, you know, I don't feel romantic towards you. Mm-hmm. And can we still be friends? And he said, okay, fine. Was like that was all that he could get from her, and so he was willing to accept it. Mm-hmm. And he was very close with Lola, and whenever he came to visit in Tucson after he moved away, he'd go to Phoenix to visit her, mm-hmm. and he'd bring Lola and her son out to Orlando, and they go to all the theme parks, and he was really happy spending that time with her. Mm-hmm. And then 5 days after she married, he decided to take a gun and put it in through his heart because he was heartbroken, and he ended his life.
Oh my gosh.
And none of us expected it, zero. So he did that on October the 12th, and that day, he had sent many of us messages that said, I love you. Uh-huh. Well, just think what I was doing that day. I was putting the finishing touches on my first book, and just as I sent the revisions to the editor, probably around the same time that he chose to use that gun. So it was pretty interesting timing.
Wow.
And when he sent me a message, I love you, I wrote back, thanks, honey, I love you. Uh-huh. And my daughter said, John, is this a suicide note? And he said, oh, no. And they started talking about the restaurants they were going to go to and what they were going to do when he was going to come to visit in a few weeks.
Oh, wow.
So we had no idea what was going on. And then 5 days later, his best friend called my daughter, and they said, I haven't heard from Johnny. And she said, I haven't either. Well, I picked up zero clues because I said, I bet he went to Las Vegas or the Bahamas or somewhere, mm-hmm. and he didn't want us to know, or he didn't want me to know, because his money was dwindling, and he loved to just take off on a little jaunt like to Las Vegas.
Right, and he didn't want to be judged.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought he was doing something like that. So it was I missed it totally. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, you know, had thought there may be an issue. Mm-hmm. So after a few hours and nobody reached him, I think it was the 17th, his dad called the police and the police talked to the apartment people. They opened the door and they found his body.
So
you know, it was like, and I still remember the phone call. Uh-huh. And I still remember, screaming. I mean, I didn't know I could scream the way I screamed.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And for a long time, actually, I could not go back to that memory. And I could not look at the chair I was sitting in when I got that call. That was an example of some little bit of post-traumatic stress.
Right.
And I ended up because I was supposed to see a trauma therapist here, but it didn't work out. So I thought, well, I'll just do the tapping on my own. Mm-hmm. And I, every day for a couple days or a week, whatever, I would do the tapping as I did my inner work walks in the morning. I'd mm-hmm. walk the dogs, and I do whatever I need to do for yeah. inside stuff.
Right.
And now I can look at, I'm looking at the chair now. I can remember who I was talking to, and when I got the call waiting came in, and I heard, he's dead, and it was screaming so loud I couldn't even understand him. Mm. So I can talk about it now.
Yeah.
You know, it's a memory that I wish I didn't have, uh-huh. but it doesn't have, you know, the kind of, I'm not blocking it, and it doesn't have the kind of upset that was connected with it for all those years.
Right. And I know that you've done, it goes beyond the source tapping. I know that you've done a lot of inner work, and it's been a bit of a roller coaster, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for instance, the first Christmas, so he's transitions in October. The first Christmas, I'm thinking, we're Jewish. This isn't my holiday. It's not going to be a big deal. Uh-huh. I ended up sobbing as I was going into a store because there were all these families there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christmas shopping and family time and celebration time. So Christmas was a trigger that I didn't expect. A lot of them I expect, his birthday and the anniversary of his death,
sure.
and Angelversary Day. But I did not expect that first Christmas.
Mm.
So there's sometimes, and it doesn't happen nearly as much anymore, but especially that first year, things would come up that would be triggers that I'd be so surprised at.
Mm-hmm.
And my belief is, the only way through a feeling is through a feeling, mm-hmm. not burying it, not pushing it aside.
Mm-hmm.
So I allowed myself to have the feeling, and I allowed myself to work with them. I mean, I was really good. You mentioned that I had another book. I was really good at shoving down feelings with food for so many years mm-hmm. of my kidhood and young adulthood.
Right. And you're not alone there. There are lots of us who've had issues with that.
Undiagnosed, but later on I became a counselor and I said, oh, that's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had an unpleasant feeling, I would just push it down with food.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the challenges with doing that is when you push down all those uncomfortable feelings,
mm-hmm.
all the happy and joyous ones go down too.
Right.
So it's really nullifies so many of the feelings and you're sort of living this blah, emotionless mm-hmm. life, you know, very monotone.
So you had healed your emotional eating and after your son committed suicide.
No, before that.
I know, but then your son committed suicide.
Right.
Did it trigger those issues again? Did
That's so interesting because I expected it to,
uh-huh.
and I couldn't eat. All I ate was plain yogurt with raw honey. That was all uh-huh. I can eat for days.
Yeah, yeah. We have to go to a quick break, but when we return, we're going to hear about some of the other stories of people who lost their children, and Meryl's advice about how, with any significant loss, how we can heal and embrace life again. Stay tuned for more with Meryl Beck.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
If you struggle with fear and anxiety, you know how powerless and stuck these emotions can make you feel. You've tried everything, but nothing helped you overcome these blocks. Dr. Friedman Schaub, award-winning author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, created a special program which helped thousands of his clients to become healthy, happy, and confident again. Learn how to eliminate negative self-talk, let go of your emotional baggage, and replace limiting beliefs. With Dr. Friedman's accelerated program, you can break through your challenges. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
How many times do you find yourself saying, "It was nothing"? Next time someone tells you "great job," you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to Be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to Be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self. Check out her website, couragetobeseen.com, and listen to the first Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m. Pacific with host Sherry Clark. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Prince here along the timeless sea. We have not been the same since you came.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. That was the wonderful Michael Tomlinson, who's been a guest on this show. He's an amazing musician. If you're interested in learning more about him and his music, go to MichaelTomlinson.com.
We need him back.
We do.
We've got to make that happen.
We invited him about 6 months ago, and I know that he's.
You got to stay on it, producers. You got to stay on it.
Yeah. Well, for a while I didn't.
I'll hit him up.
I didn't have a producer. You know, I mean, or associate producer. So
yeah, I hear a lot of excuses. Come
well, seriously,
we'll
it's
get,
like
no, I'm just
yeah,
we'll
I can only
back.
Juggle so many balls, and then
I, yeah. Believe you me, look at what I look at all day.
I know. There. For those of you who've never seen the studio, which is probably like just about everybody listening. There are how many
and
monitors
watching,
there?
And watching. They're online here.
Oh,
remember?
Hello. I forget that.
I know, right?
I conveniently forget that, right?
Yeah. I have about like 7 screens
yeah.
that I have to look at. It's 8, 9 behind me.
Yeah,
so it's
some
good.
Other contraptions over there.
Just
I don't
makes
even...
my life a little easier, really.
It impresses the heck out of
thank
me.
You, thank
it's
you.
Just like
well, I couldn't
you
do
know,
what your
magic.
Job is. I couldn't
yeah.
host very well.
Sure you could. But anyway, I'm really grateful to have our guest here today, Meryl Hersheybeck. And Meryl, you talked about the shock and surprise about Jonathan, your son of 35, committing suicide. And looking back, you said you were all kind of surprised, but do you think that there were some signs that he was sort of depressed or that might go that route?
Well, he actually left all of his journals.
Uh-huh.
And I read through many of them, and since he was a teenager, he wrote in there, "I want to kill myself.
I hate
the way I look. I don't like me." I mean, it was heart-wrenching when I read that. I didn't know. I mean, that he had that kind of self-image.
Right.
I just didn't know. And one time he said to me, I have no idea how he mentioned it, that he owns a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Why?" He said, "Mom, I'm living in a first-floor apartment."
Mm-hmm.
So I just accepted it.
Right.
Yeah, but his suicide note. Oh, so the other thing is he lost his job, and he was getting low on money.
Mm-hmm.
But his suicide note said, I don't want a new job. I don't want a new friends. I don't want to move away. I just want to end it and start again.
Wow.
I know. It was like, wow. However, he and I have been in touch more now that he's on what we call the other side than when he was living in the U.S. And one of the first comments he ever said was, you know, what I did was so stupid. Don't anyone else do it.
Uh-huh.
And he also said, and I use this as the title of the chapter in the book, I crossed myself over in a stupid way.
Hmm. It's interesting because I've had at least one, I think one or two other guests whose son committed suicide who ended up like channeling through somebody. And I think that they say that a lot when they end their own lives, that it's, you know, it doesn't fix anything long term, you know, because they'll have to come back and or stay on the other side and they'll have to work through things. So it doesn't end the pain. And then they've got the additional pain of seeing the pain that they've caused amongst their loved ones.
Right. One of the things he said, please, please don't be angry with me.
Mm.
So it was hard for him to see our not just plain old grief and sadness, but so angry that he made that choice.
Yeah. And yet so you feel what you feel, right? You
right.
said, yeah. So were you angry at him?
At first, and then when I got the message, please don't be angry with me, I was able to forgive him mm-hmm. and actually understand why he did it.
Mm.
You know, it came to a place definitely of forgiveness and understanding, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that with any kind of loss, sometimes, you know, obviously there's a lot of things written about the various stages of grief that aren't linear, mind you. It's like up and down and sort of a weird kind of circuitous path. But one of them is anger. And I think that after watching somebody I care about go through something where they've experienced a loss of a different kind, I see that that anger serves to help you let go of some of the attachment.
Mm,
you
good
know?
Point. Good.
And I think about, as a mother, you know, we're programmed not only to love, but to be attached. Mm-hmm. Because our job is to you know, have our kids survive, you know, as a mother or a father. And so that anger makes a lot of sense to me.
Right, right. Yeah, I was watching a video about parents of lost kids, and the question was, were you angry with God? And I thought, I was never angry with God, because maybe I would have been if he had been in an accident or something.
Sure.
But I was concerned, and my friend came over immediately, and I said, you know, I don't believe in hell, but what if I'm wrong?
Oh.
What if I'm wrong?
There are probably so many people who feel that way.
Yeah, and she said, God is so loving. It's mm-hmm. all God does is love. There, you know, there can't be anything else.
Right.
So that was very helpful at that time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's bad enough to think in terms of somebody no longer existing,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I know that you had faith and understanding that there is this other side, and yet hell could be something that we create in our own lives and have to face on the other side. Hell could be what we've been taught through some of the religions, but either way, that's not a pleasant thing to think about our loved ones being in.
And somebody said to me, their hell was going through their life review,
mm-hmm.
you know, and yeah. seeing what our reaction is to them having departed.
Right.
So that was their hell, but it's not like this fiery inferno kind of place that we picture.
Yeah. Yeah, with somebody with horns and a tail.
Right, right, right. But I'm very fortunate that right away I was able to get messages, and I have people around me who are able – they're not necessarily mediums, but they're able to get messages from the other side.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you an example. So this one woman I had a massage with, and, you know, this was like a couple months after he crossed over.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't know me. I didn't know her. Somebody gifted me with a massage.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in, and she said, and I'm lying on the table, and I hear kerplunk. And I said, what was that? And she said, that is so strange. I have this little fountain with a ball on top, and it just dropped off. I said, oh, I bet my son's here. He likes to do little practical jokes like that. And she said, well, what do you mean, your son? I said, well, you know, he transitioned a couple months ago. She said, oh, he's here. Oh, his energy is beautiful. Mm. He's just hugging you and loving you. So I've had people in my life that are able to get that kind of connection.
Right.
I had one lucid dream, only one that I'm aware of. And, no, not a lucid dream, a visitation. Because uh-huh. I thought it was a dream, and somebody else said that was a visitation.
Uh-huh.
So in the visitation dream, I was at an event with my daughter, and we see Johnny walking toward us. And Allison and I both go, oh, wow, look, he's here. Mm-hmm. And I gave him a hug, and I expected it to go through the air, but he was able to materialize enough that I could feel the hug.
Wow.
And later on, when I mentioned somebody, they said he had to use a whole lot of energy, I mean, very advanced skill to be able to materialize enough to feel solid, even, uh-huh. in that visitation.
Right.
And he also had to know that I was stable enough, because so many people, when they have that kind of visitation, they don't want to let go. They just want to go with the person mm-hmm. back to the other side.
Sure. Since you've gotten some messages, I know that some of them are geared towards his relationship with you. Do you feel like he's tapping into a new kind of wisdom as well on the other side?
Oh, absolutely. And he's just so happy. And he's helping other people, young people, cross over. And I don't know if they're just suicides or not.
Uh-huh.
But he's just finding purpose in his life. And even though it's not a life in a physical body.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's so happy and so much joy. He sends me messages all the time. Can I tell you my favorite one?
Sure.
So a few months after his transition, now, we in the English language have so many words that, just don't quite work. Because we don't really die. We just change forms, mm-hmm. But so I'm going to say transition.
Okay.
And, we can still say die. It's okay with me.
Or Passover or whatever, yeah.
Right. And so a few months later, or maybe a few weeks later, it was pretty early on, and I'm doing a few errands, and I have my, 6-year-old granddaughter in the back seat,
mm-hmm.
and she is Miss Chatty Cathy,
right.
da. So I couldn't talk to her, because she's directly behind me in a booster seat. I can't have the radio on when I talk to her, so the radio's off, we get to the bank, we go in, I see whoever the person is where you get the notary signed.
Uh-huh.
But it was taking a while, and I said, oh, do you have a piece of paper for my granddaughter? And she started drawing.
Uh-huh.
And we're ready to leave. I say, oh, that's such a pretty picture. What's that in the middle? And she said, that's Uncle Johnny's face.
So it was a flower that she had drawn, right?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's a flower. And what's in the middle? That's Uncle Johnny.
Okay.
We get in the car, I put her back in her booster seat, I turn on the ignition, and the radio flips on, and I hear, I'll see your face in every flower.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm getting the goosebumps, the godbumps.
Yeah, me too. And
now, it's on an oldie station here in Tucson, uh-huh. and every once in a while, I'll turn that station on, and I'll hear that, and I go, oh, hi, Johnny.
Yeah.
I see butterflies when I'm on my walk, and go, good morning, Johnny. So he sends me little signs all the time.
Oh, this is great, and tragic at the same time, and beautiful. We have to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more here on the Christine Epchurch Show.
I'm Christine Epchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. Self-control begins with noticing how different feelings present themselves in your body. When you're feeling sensitive, for example, your chin might quiver, tears might well up in your eyes, and your voice might catch in your throat. Anger, on the other hand, might appear as tension in your jaw, back, or arms, along with clenched fists, heat in the upper torso, scowling, and a strong desire to yell. The more aware you become of your body cues, the easier it will be to recognize when you're on the road to disaster. Choose the emotions that cause you problems, then start noticing and logging the body cues that come with them.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com. That's empoweringnrg.com.
Right now, ask yourself, how far are you from your dream? Are you closer today than yesterday? Entrepreneur and personal coach Deborah Rothschild brings the wit and wisdom to transform you into a new dynamic you. Tune in to the Deborah Rothschild Show, Developing a Dynamic You. To learn more about Deborah, visit thedeborahshow.com. That's the D-E-B-R-A show.com.
Tune in live every Wednesday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on transformationtalkradio.com.
Your money is your creational energy. When you feed your wealth back into what you love, it signals your choices and returns to you. Tune in to Money Momentum with host Karen Baines and learn the truth about the widely misunderstood creative energy that is the cash in your pocket. Realign the things you can't see to get the results you can see. Listen every month for a whole new hour on how to get the money already aligned to who you are. For more information on Karen and Money Momentum, visit soulwhispers.uk.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with author Meryl Hershey Beck. Almost called you Mary there, Meryl. I can't believe it. Her first book was called Stop Eating Your Heart Out. And her most recent book that's just come out, and there are going to be a bunch of freebies offered. You're going to have to stay tuned for that. It is called Lost, Survive, Thrive. Bereaved parents share their stories of healing. Now, you've shared your story, and I know that suicide must be one of the most painful ways to lose a child, whether it's a teenager or adult child. And there's some other beautiful and painful stories in this book. Can you share one of the other stories?
Well, the book's set up so they're all in individual categories. And the first category, for instance, is baby loss.
Mm.
And one of the stories is written by a man who grew up in the Midwest, very stoic, you know, and you just grin and bear it, or you just bear it, even if you're not grinning.
Right.
And when his wife, they were pregnant, and his wife lost the baby, I don't remember how many months, and he just went back to work. Oh. And about 18 months later, it happened again, and they lost a second child, and it laid him flat.
Oh.
And so he now has a website, and he helps other grieving dads.
Uh-huh.
Because in our culture, I mean, we women have enough trouble with it, but men really have trouble being able to find a place where their grief is okay and mm-hmm. allowed to be seen with it.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's in the baby loss section. And the next section is illness and disease. And there's stories about kids that died from all kinds of things, like, you know, for instance, Lucia's story, her daughter, her beautiful daughter Elizabeth, was at the University of Arizona, and they found out that she had cancer. And at first, they had did not suspect at all that it would kill her.
Right.
It did.
Oh.
And, you know, Lucia's story is about how she goes on remembering Elizabeth and honoring her and living a life that she'd be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Next section is accident.
Uh-huh.
And one example is Tamara, and she was driving the car, and there was an accident, and her daughter passed. So she had all this guilt to deal with. And she did not have support. She didn't have family support. She, you know, they all turned against her.
Because she was somehow responsible for the accident.
Well, they also turned against her before that because she and her husband divorced. And they all said, you know, you're a bad person. You can't do that. You know, her father, let me reread the story. I don't want to say too much about her family.
Yeah.
And how she overcame it. And how she was able to, now she's the one that kept seeing this purple and green together. And I forgot about that when the book cover is actually purple and green.
It is. It's a beautiful book cover, by the way.
Thanks. And she has put together a group on Facebook called Healing Hug. And there's over 2 million people who are, you know, are part of that. And what she does is she holds events like Zumbathons here in Tucson to help raise funds for people who need help with funeral expenses. And that came as a result. You know, I'm getting the God bumps again.
Right.
So one of the things we did recently is I had a group of some of the contributors here, and we talked about the blessings that have happened, the silver lining list.
Uh-huh.
Because even though it's grief and it's awful, good things have come from it. And the Healing Hugs group is one of the examples.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is suicide. Mm-hmm. And that was where my story is. The following one is mental illness leading to death.
Right.
And the other suicide stories, I don't know whether it's mental illness or not. None of them were ever diagnosed with it. But mm-hmm. this one, each person was diagnosed with a mental illness. And one of them was told that he was schizophrenic and was on medication for years and was just functioning really well.
Mm-hmm.
And then he saw a different doctor, and the doctor said, oh, no, you're not. He went off his meds, and a few months later, he chose to end his life.
Wow. There's a story of murder, too, isn't there?
Right. And the story of murder is Rukaya, and she is amazing. She has some videos on Humankind and on Facebook with millions of people that have watched it.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about the murder and why people are watching the videos.
I will. So her son was choosing to live in a less savory part of town because he wanted to help upgrade it. So he knew that. And he went out one night to get some dinner, and these kids killed him. They stabbed him, and he died.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a trial. They only have 2 out of the 3, you know, killers.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of them, the mom, Rukaya, walks into the courtroom. She sees these boys, and she says, these are just babies.
Mm-hmm.
We can't lose any more lives. And she asked permission to hug them. So that's why the video is so moving.
Right.
It's really all, she's Muslim, and it's all about forgiveness. And she knows she can't bring her son back, and she doesn't want these other lives to be lost. So she wants to be in touch, in contact with these boys and help them, even though they're going to be in jail.
So that kind of, not only forgiveness on some level, you have to forgive enough to be able to do that, but to love somebody who took your child off the planet. Just for violence, you know, just for the fun of it.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, she's amazing.
That's profound.
It's amazing. We have stories about drugs, and we have stories from Gold Star parents. That means the child who died was an adult child active in the military, and that makes them a Gold Star parent.
Right.
And then the last story in the book, this woman is incredible. She lost 3 children.
Oh.
One was at birth. Her only daughter from leukemia when she was a kid, and her son when he was an adult, suicided. She has 2, and she was just here for the launch, for the book release weekend, and she said she's in touch with those 3 much more than the 2 that live here now, one in the U.S. and one in Hong Kong.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, I know how devastating it was to lose one. I just can't imagine going through it 3 times.
Yeah.
She's positive. She's upbeat. She started a chapter of Helping Parents Heal in the Tampa area. She's amazing, and she's just glowing. She has this beautiful energy.
What's so interesting about your book is these stories, you know, as I was reading these stories, they're heartbreaking, but they're also heart-opening.
Right.
It's like each of these people has learned something and grown and brought something new to their lives and to the world because of, you know, this horrific loss that they've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it important to get this message out?
So when somebody loses a child, this group that that club that we nobody wants to belong to,
right.
We feel so alone with it, mm-hmm. so alone. And we believe that there's no hope for us. And so many parents I've heard about, when their child dies, no matter what age, their life is over.
Mm-hmm.
They're depressed. A few of them I've heard about that actually suicided. They just have major diseases that take them out in some way. They don't get out of bed. And the book is here to give people hope, to show them that there is a possibility that there can be life after this terrible tragedy.
Yeah.
And that your life doesn't have to end, and that you will be honoring your child if you choose to do the healing for yourself, so you can go on and create a life that will be honoring to your child, that will be you're remembering the child, and that you're not taking, it's not two lives that are gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or three, if it's, you know, both
parents.
Right.
Yeah, or three.
Or the siblings, because there's so many people involved when somebody dies and in a family. Anyway, we're going to go to another break. But when we return, Meryl's going to share about her new book and how you can purchase it. But these many, many fabulous bonuses that you can get if you purchase it soon. And we're going to have that link on the archive on my website. So stay tuned for more with Meryl Beck. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
Have you lost a loved one and would desperately love a sign to prove that they are okay? Here's a tip for you. Be curious. Keep an open mind about everything. The proof will come from the most unlikely places. The messages promise to challenge your current beliefs and what you've been taught. Accept and appreciate all, no matter where they come from. I'm Angie Corbett-Kuiper. I would love for you to share your signs from beyond on my closed Facebook page, Beyond Grief.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
I've run away from love so many times.
Welcome back. You know, Meryl, before we go any further, I want to make sure our listeners know how they can connect with you. And I want you to talk a little bit about the all these freebies that you're offering with the purchase of your new book.
So I am so thrilled that 26 people said, yeah, I'd love to give you a gift to help launch the book. So there's 26 gifts. When people go to, you'll have the link, but it's tinyurl.com/LST book launch. And hopefully the link will show up rather than trying to remember that.
Just go to the radio show page of my website. Click on Meryl Beck's face, Meryl Beck's name, the listen here. You'll go to that page, and we will have the link there.
Yeah. Put a winky face afterwards, too. We like winky faces.
Yes, we do.
Right. We love them.
I mean, it's probably up on my LostSurviveThrive.com page, but rather go to your page. It's easier.
Yeah, and this way they can share the archive, too.
Right.
I think it's really important for – I think that most people can really feel for those who have survived this kind of loss, but – oftentimes, we really don't know how to support those who have gone through it.
Right.
And your book is one of the ways.
Absolutely. Because so often, people don't know what to say. You mentioned it earlier. You know, how do you support somebody that's going through that?
Right.
And the best supports are just being there, listening, giving a hug if they're open for it.
Right.
And if you can hand them this book, it says, you know, there's hope. There's hope. There's a way to heal.
Yeah.
Here's some inspiration for you.
Yeah. It's very inspirational. And yes, amongst those 26, last I heard it was 22 freebies. It's now up to 26 freebies, and I'm offering one. I've got a freebie on there as well.
Absolutely. So, yeah, the one you're offering, it's like, I haven't listened to it yet. I want to. It's the audio version of The Downside to Seeking.
Yep. The chapter that... that I wrote for the book that came out in July, and then I did the reading of it, and Benny produced it. So it's the audio version. It's about 16 minutes long, and it's got some insight about how Seek and Ye Shall Find was mistranslated, and that slight mistranslation makes a huge difference in how we go about seeking our spiritual connection and seeking to manifest. So anyway, that's one of the freebies, and there are a whole bunch of other fabulous freebies, too.
It's really good.
Yes, some of them are geared for people who are in grief, like the Silver Lining List that we talked about earlier, or I'm looking through the list, Loss of a Loved One Meditation, or When a Child Changes Worlds, Holistic Solutions for the Greatest Challenge in Life.
Mm.
So some of them are very much geared. You know, Faces of Suicide, the chapter I wrote for a book called Faces of Suicide.
Uh-huh.
Grieving the Loss of a Child. Footprints of the Heart was written by a woman who lost her child during pregnancy. And these are poems that she wrote. Mm-hmm. And she gave us the whole ebook. And we also got a whole ebook from Suzanne Giesemann on mastering meditation.
Mm-hmm.
We have things that for people... like, if you want to give this as a gift, there's a lot of things that you'll enjoy just for yourself. Besides Christine's, those of you who understand or have heard about energy psychology, Fred Gallo gave us his interview on how he came up with that term, because he's the one that coined it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's Transforming a Family Lineage. There's a whole online course called Small Change, Big Difference. So there's a whole bunch. Star Fuentes gave us Get Over Sexual Abuse ebook.
Wow.
You know, there's a ton of things. There's two different things on relationships. One is Evolve Your Relationships, Transform Your World. Mm-hmm. It's an audio. And another one is The Five Ancient Secrets of Thriving Relationships.
Wow.
And so that's an online audio video course.
So there are so many goodies there that are worth the price. And here's the thing. This book, you know, I've never lost a child, thank God. And yet it was very inspirational. These people are illuminating for us how even when you experience the worst loss you can ever think to experience, you can learn to thrive. And that speaks to all kinds of loss, whether it's a loss of a relationship, the loss of a job, anything where we've got great attachment and we have to let go. Yeah. And I think if you don't know somebody who could use the book, I might suggest purchasing it, getting all these freebies, and then donating it to your library, your local library.
And that's the other piece. People who would like to read it and right now don't maybe have the funds, go to your library, ask them to order it. Yeah. Or even if you do order it, go to your library and ask them to order it.
Yeah.
Because the library journal, thank you, God, universe, gave me this great review. Can I read it?
Yes, please.
Okay, and that means hopefully lots of libraries will order it, and that's a way to really get it out for people to borrow it.
Uh-huh.
And the library journal, which is very prestigious, and it's really important to get a good review if you ever want your book in the library, said, Beck compiles stories from 27 parents who share their own journeys through the grief process. The accounts are both raw and deeply personal, reflecting individual lessons learned on the path to healing, without shying away from the myriad feelings involved in processing the death of a loved one. Resources for recovery, as well as insights from fathers, often less recognized in the literature, are highlights. Verdict, a helpful and perspective-giving tool for anyone who is wading through tragedy and in need of support and inspiration.
That's a fabulous review.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it really is for anybody going through any kind of loss, like you were mentioning, you know, maybe it's your pet passed away.
Yes.
Spouse, sibling, maybe you lost your job, maybe you lost your marriage, your house, any kind of big loss.
Right. And it's funny because, you know, one of the things that I know psychologists talk about, but I've experienced personally, is when you are experiencing a loss, whatever kind of loss it is, it seems to trigger grief about previous losses as well. So that grief is kind of like this system that goes through our lives in a variety of ways, and it's all kind of connected.
And the image that I got, as you said, is remember those paper chain links that we'd make as kids in elementary school?
Yes.
Well, that's what it was. They're all linked together, and you think you're pulling up one, and this hole goes, bleh, all of them come up together because they're all linked together.
Yeah. Okay, so we've only got about 2 minutes left. Do you have any final messages for our listeners?
This was major labor of love. I started the project 2 years ago, so it was a 2-year gestation period. And my hope is that it reaches the people who are suffering right now, whatever their loss is. And sometimes they won't be able to pick up the book for themselves, but they'll need a friend, a relative, a coworker to purchase it and hand it to them because they're not in any place to get it for themselves.
Right.
And one of our people, the contributors, said, this is the book I searched for when my son died 30 years ago. This would be it. And that's one of the things all of us, all the contributors mentioned we have in common, that we went to books to find comfort after we lost someone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my hope and my belief that this book will bring lots of comfort.
Yeah, and the image that comes to mind for me is that when you go to this horrific place of such a loss, it's kind of like you're alone on an island, and maybe you've got a spouse with you on that island too, but you're alone on this deserted island, and this is like, you know, helping people get back to the mainland.
Right. You know, I can't find it right now, but in the introduction I wrote something about, you know, we're like reaching through the pages to hold their hand so they're not feeling alone.
Yeah.
There's a kindred spirit. There's a sharing because we all get it. We know what the pain is like. We get it.
Yeah. And, it's really clear through people's stories and the fact that they went to the trouble to, you know, basically revisit it and write it and rewrite it, you know, that's something that's so hard that they're sharing it because they want to help others. And clearly that's what you've been doing here as well.
Yeah. And, you know, in addition to the stories, there's a whole section on resources,
which
is about the books we recommend, some of the techniques that we use, what helped us personally.
Uh-huh.
So we have a whole section on resources too.
Yeah. Okay. This is great. But we've run out of time. Meryl, thank you so much for honoring yourself, honoring Jonathan, and honoring the many parents who've experienced this and honoring those who will unfortunately have the same experience. And I want to thank you for being here today.
Thanks so much for inviting me. I'm glad I get to share this with you and with your listeners.
And I want to thank you for joining us here today. If you want access to all those freebies, if you want to be able to purchase the book and help others through this, go to ChristineUpchurch.com radio show page. It should be up by tonight. And I want to thank you for joining us here today. Bye, everybody.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you'd like to empower yourself to step further into your vibration of change, please visit my website at ChristineUpchurch.com, where you can learn more about my insights, upcoming events, and private sessions.